This message this morning is God's repayment system. We're going to be looking at the Word of God and how God describes Himself and His character when it comes to repaying.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, good morning. As we get ready to get into your word, I want to ask that you would just take the worship that we have given you and let that be, Lord, an open door for us to receive from you and to hear from you, hear what your word says, and apply it to our lives. And we'll thank you, Lord, for that. And I'm going to ask God that you would use me, and we give you praise and give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm praising God today. At least I think we're online. Last week we had some issues. Are we online, Brother Aaron? Yes, we are. He's got a thumbs up back there. So, you know what? The moral of the story is, I guess, come to church, right? And because we never know when that thing is not going to work correctly. But we're, if you can, I know we have people in Mississippi that watch. They can't exactly come to church. In California, I guess they could. You know, we just have to get a couple days start. So, but anyway, we're glad to have all of them with us. This morning, I'm going to kind of switch gears a little bit, but yet stay in the same mode that we've been in since the beginning of the year. And God's bringing to us humility. And last week, talking about pouring out hot coals. How many remember that one last week? All right. Wow. Joseph, you raise your hand, right? That's awesome. He remembered that. Amen. Some of the adults didn't remember what the message was last week. In other words, God is asking us to act differently than the world does. And He's trying to get us to be that people of God. This morning, no difference, I guess, but we're going to be talking about something that kind of hinges on all of that. But I want us to start in Psalm 33. And we're going to be covering quite a few scriptures here this morning. And so this morning we'll start in Psalm 33. And verse 8 is where I want to start. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. What were we doing this morning? How great is our God, right? All the world will see how great is our God. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to nothing. He makes the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven, and He beholds all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looks upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all of their works. Lord, bless that word this morning. And I want to key in on a couple verses here from that. There's like all kinds of things we could teach about here this morning. But I want to key in on a couple verses, and that's verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, and the thoughts of His heart are to all generations. So that means in the generation that God was speaking to His people in the Old Testament, He's still speaking to us today because we are another generation. And all those generations in between, God is still speaking to. Now, there are people today that say, God's dead. He's not speaking anymore. God is faithful to all generations. And then looking at verse 15, He fashions their hearts alike. He considers all of their works. So, a couple things here that we see. God's counsel stands forever. His heart is for all generations. And he considers and is aware of all man's works, good or bad. Does God see what's happening in today's world? Does God see what's happening in our jobs? What about in school, Tucker? What about on the tennis court? God sees. What about in our homes, in our private places? Does God see? Yes, he does. He is aware of all the works of man, good or bad. And good or bad, God repays. This message this morning is God's repayment system. And we're going to be looking at the Word of God and how God describes himself and his character when it comes to repaying. We have to understand this, that nothing gets by God. Nothing. Now, in today's world, we have individuals that are doing evil, and so many times, one of the cries of all the people of God, or anybody that wants to do right, is, how come the heathen get away with stuff? Why do these people seem to succeed? And why do they get riches, and they get all this stuff, but they're doing nasty stuff, they're doing evil stuff? Does God not see all that happening? Yes, he does see that. And there is a repayment system that is in place from God. And we're going to be talking about some of those things. But I first want to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. In the book of Hebrews, and by the way, that study has been really good. We've been studying that on Wednesday night, so if you'd like to join with us on that, contact Kathy, she'll get you in on that. But in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews says this in verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. In other words, that word of God can look within us, between that soul man and that spirit, and he sees what's going on in the joints and the marrow, and he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, my goodness. Not only the things that God sees mankind doing, but the things that mankind is thinking in our hearts. Neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So this whole business of, well, you know, I can get away with thinking it as long as I don't do it. God says, no, I see it. I know what's going on in your heart. I know what's going on in your mind. So there's no sense of trying to hide something from God. Because he sees that. And I really like this, that, you know, God sees this, and all things are naked unto him. People try to cover things up. We try to hide it, and we try to put different names on it, and that's really good in today's society, right? We have different names that are politically correct for things, when God just calls it sin. Amen? God just calls it sin. So we're going to call sin, sin. And if God is convicting, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you of something that you are doing, he is doing that for a reason, because that is sin and God wants that out of your life. So don't try to justify it and say, well, you know, everybody else is doing it, so that makes it okay. Or it's legal and it's okay because it's legal. When God says something, he expects us to pay attention to it. Because everything in front of the Lord is there. We have to understand that nothing gets by God, and that he is a just and faithful God. So what does that mean? He's a just God. That means that since nothing, he doesn't miss anything, that there is consequences, or there are consequences for sin. And there are consequences for obeying His word. Very simply put, He's just. He's faithful. And so many times people get mad at God because, well, you didn't do this or you didn't do it the right way. How many of you have said that to God? Don't you understand the way that this was supposed to work, God? In whose eyes? In our own eyes. The way that we think that things are supposed to work. Sometimes we have to wait on the Lord. Sometimes we have to wait on the things that we are asking for. Sometimes they happen right away. And we get all excited and we say, you know, I prayed that prayer and God just did it right there, man. He just poured over me and that was awesome. Kathy was giving a testimony about that, how the Lord did that. But then there's other times when we have to wait. Well, Pastor, it's okay if I only have to wait for a day. That's fine. Well, what if you have to wait 10 years? What if you have to wait 20 years? Are we still going to believe that God is just and that He's faithful? According to His word, He is telling us that He is faithful and just. Isaiah 61, verse 8, and I'll have Brother Rick throw that up there real quick because we're also going to go back into Isaiah. So if you jump back there with me. Isaiah 61, verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. Wow. I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Is the Lord faithful? Is He just? Here He says that He loves judgment. Isaiah chapter 30. Jumping back a few chapters, Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall your strength be, but you would not. He's speaking to His people. And He's saying, listen, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In other words, trusting in the Lord. How many of us try to figure out everything? One person. Oh, here we go. A couple in the back there. All right. Come on, let me see again. How many of you try to figure out everything? How many of you like to have everything under control the way that it's supposed to go? Oh, we got another one here that's raised his hand. How many of you get uncomfortable when things don't go the way that you think they should go? Phil's pointing. I won't say who he's pointing to, but we get uncomfortable. Oh my goodness, things are falling apart. They're not going according to plan. Whose plan? We got another cup. We got hands pointing everywhere here. Fingers, yeah. We get all upset when things aren't going according to plan. Whose plan? Our plan. Not God's plan. And this is really important. In quietness and rest. In quietness and rest. Yeah, but I got to be doing something. I got to be making it happen. Because, you know, if I'm not doing something, it's never going to happen. Or, I like this one, if you want to do something, you got to do it right. You got to do it yourself. You got to make it happen. And God says, in quietness and rest, you will be saved. But you said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall you flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, and the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of the mountain, and as an ensign on a hill. Now, basically, if you weren't following that, let me give you the Fiscus version of that. If you decide you're going to take things in your own hand, and you're going to make things happen, your enemy can do exactly the same thing. You decide you're going to get a plan, you're going to be swift, he's going to be swift. You decide you're going to move one direction, he'll move there with you. But in quietness and rest in the Lord, there's salvation. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all those that wait for him. Can I read that again, Rhonda? Blessed are all those who do what? Wait for him. Because God's a God of judgment. He loves that. Blessed are all those who wait upon him. How many of you want to be blessed? Here it is, in a nutshell, I have to wait upon God. It can't be my own plan, Sheila. And I told you years ago, I had a plan when I graduated Bible school. And my plan was grandiose, Lee. I pictured myself with the thousands listening to me in great big auditoriums. And I was going to teach them. And God said, no, boy, I'm going to teach you. Amen? And God proceeded to do it. Because what happens to the proud of heart? There is a falling there. Yes, there is. Well, let's get back. We know that God loves justice. And that there is repayment. So let's look at God's faithful repayment system components. Now, those of you that like to keep everything in order, you like the components right in line. Judy's already got her pen out. She's ready to write them down. Okay? I'm picking on you, Judy. Yeah. But there's components that God has. I actually have four of them. Okay? Here's number one. God repays for evil done against his children. Okay, we're talking about the components to his repayment system. He repays for evil done against his children. Number two that we're going to talk about, God repays for kindness and generosity. Number three, God repays the proud in heart. And number four, God repays the repentant. And we're going to back this all up with his word, because this is how we know the character of God and how he repays, and what he says he will do, he will do. So let's start with number one. God repays for evil done against his children. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now this is Moses as he's coming near the end of his life, and instructions in the book of Deuteronomy, kind of summing up everything that the last few books have brought in. But Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 28 is where I want to start. And Moses speaking here says, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Speaking about some nations that were coming against the Israelites. Oh, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are clusters of bitterness. Their wine is the poison of dragon and the cruel venom of asp. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me, speaking of the Lord, belongs vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the kings that shall come upon them shall make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he sees that their power is gone and that there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted? I want you to understand something, that God looks after his people. And with all the things that are happening in our world today, we're hearing of all kinds of things. And, you know, with administrations that are in power, that are doing evil things, and people, there are some Christians that say, oh, you know, God missed this. He didn't know this was going to happen. Come on now. If you know the Word of God, which we just went over, there is nothing that is hid before the Lord. And the Lord knows the evil that the enemy tries to bring upon the people of God, and the oppression and all the things that come against the people of God. But God says the people of God should know their rock. Amen? He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my strong tower. He is the one that I run into. And the Lord says that I will repay. Amen? Because vengeance belongs to Him. Now, many, many Christians need to get a hold of this because we think that we need to do something about this. That we need to really make them know that what they're doing is evil. We need to do something about it. How many of you get riled up over things like that? Oh, one person. Thank you. When you see evil happening, you just go, oh, whatever, la-di-da, right? You know, I made a recommendation a couple years ago. Those of you getting all riled up because you watch the news all the time. It's real simple. I got a solution for that. Stop watching it. And you won't get all riled up about it. Leave it in God's hands. He knows what's happening. He gets it. And He will repay, saith the Lord. If anybody touches His people, His anointed, God says, I will repay. He will take care of business. And that flies in the face of everything that's a part of this flesh man, because we want to take care of business, right? We want to make it happen. But God says, vengeance is mine. I will take care of that. Just let me. But there's many Christians that stand up and say, no, no, God. No, no, no. I will take care of this, God. And God says, okay, go ahead. And you find yourself in a mess. And then you get mad at God and say, why didn't you do something about this? And God says, I couldn't because you took over. Let God take care of an enemy. You may have somebody that continues to do something to you. Jesus said, but I said unto you, pray for those that persecute you, that despitefully use you. Why? Because God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. 2 Thessalonians, jump to the other end of the Bible. The 2 Thessalonians. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking of something like this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So again, whose job is this? It's God's job. It's God's job. Not your job to go against those that are bringing evil against you. See, you know, we hear things like, you know, if your brother smites you on the cheek, turn to him the other, right? And we're going, ain't no way. You hit me on that cheek, I'm going to hit you on the other side, buddy. But it is a righteous thing that God recompenses evil to those that trouble you. You cannot do what God can do. You cannot. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that do not know God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is serious stuff here. That's God's job. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because of our testimony among you was believed in that day. What do we know God's going to do? He's going to take care of it. So I'm telling you, the next time that you are tempted when somebody is troubling you with evil, let God take care of it. The proverb writer said, a soft answer turns away wrath. Give a soft answer. Let God take care of that, because he definitely will. Number two, God repays, and this is the one we all like here, okay? God repays for our generosity and our kindness that we show to others. I love this scripture. It has always been one that God has, well, he's ministered to me on. It's back in the book of Proverbs. And now I will tell you this, that when you read through the book of Proverbs, this is not a read that just, you know, is a solid read and it maintains a format. The book of Solomon has given you little nuggets of information, and they're usually one or two verses. And he's just giving you that because this is God's heart. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He that has pity on the poor lends unto the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again. This is part of God's repayment system. He that has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord says, I will repay my loans. That's basically what God is saying. I have a repayment system that I'm going to do that. Now, here's something that I guess that we really need to get a hold of here. Because a lot of times we have a different attitudes towards the poor or helping those that do not have. Because we get all kinds of things in our minds. Well, you know, if they would have just done this, and if they would have just done that, and if they would have just done this, they, you know, if they were just like me, then they wouldn't be that way. What is that? That's pride. Remember this, Jesus said the poor you're always going to have with you. He said there will always be those that are poor amongst us. But there are instructions that God gives to us that we're going to be looking at. But those who lend to the Lord or have pity upon the poor, those that have needs. Now, we're both talking about, number one, we're talking about the house of God. We're talking about those that are brothers and sisters in Christ, because there will always be those in the body of Christ that are poor and those in the body of Christ that have riches and those that are somewhere in between. It's always going to be because Jesus said it will be that way. So that's number one, that the heart of God is for His people, that we lend to the poor, and we're lending to the Lord when we do that. And God says, I will repay. Now again, that word lend there, he that has pity on the poor or lends to the poor, lends to the Lord. I always say when you give money away or you give things away to the poor, those that are in need, don't expect it back. It means that you're giving to them. And there are some people that say, no. When we give money to people, sometimes we say, you know, this is a loan. I'm expecting you to repay. I remember saying that to our kids. How many of you know that still hasn't come back yet? And the only one that was upset for a long time was me. Until I finally said, you know what? It's all done. It's forgiven. The debt's forgiven. You know who was free then? I was, right? So, but remember this. When you do that, you're lending to the Lord. And God says, I'll take care of it. I will repay you because I'm faithful and I'm just at doing that. Is God just, Paula? Is He faithful? Amen. Brother Rick. Is God faithful? God's faithful. How often is God faithful? So we give first and foremost to the people of God. Number two, to those that are outside of the body of Christ. Mankind. God will repay for your generosity that you give to others. And I think it's a matter of that we have to come back to this. Sometimes we get this thing in our mind. We know that there's a need out there, and in our minds we're thinking, well, I'm probably going to have to do something about that. Right? We see a need, whatever it is, I'm probably going to have to do this. And if we're honest, we probably all have said that at one time or another. I'm going to have to do this. But if we look at it a different way and say, you know what? I praise God that God has blessed me that I have to give. You see the difference in the attitude there? I'm so thankful that we have it, that we can give it. What a blessing. Because we could be on the other end of the spectrum. So if we can get that out of our minds and say, well, I have to give, you know, I have to give, okay? We're privileged to give because we're actually giving to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but you cannot outgive God here. You cannot do it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Most of us know where that passage is about the tithing whole business. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse so that there might be meat in my house, saith the Lord. And then he says, I will open the windows of heaven and I will pour out a blessing that you cannot even contain. Okay? If you are generous when it comes to the things of God, he is going to pour out his windows of blessing to you. This happens to do with tithing. And when you're giving God that tithe, but or whatever extra in the tithes and the offerings, be a blessing. Be generous. Be generous. And then there's some people that say, well, Pastor, that's not my gift. That's not my spiritual gift. That's Miss Laura's gift. So we're going to let her do it. No. No, no, no. We need to be a generous people. Being generous in every way that we possibly can be. And some people say, well, I'll be generous with my time. I'll come over and help you all you want with my time. I'll give you, but stay out of my wallet, would you? Listen, where do you think that if you are a stingy person that God is going to work on you with? With that wallet. How many Just show of hands, God's worked on your wallet. Okay. And learning to let go and realizing it ain't yours. It's God's. And so we see already with these couple that God says, I'll repay. And then here he says he'll open the windows of heaven. My goodness. Lee, do you want that happening? You want the windows of heaven opened up to you? And God pouring out a blessing. I want that. Absolutely. 1 John chapter 3. Again, we'll flip back over. I told you we're going to be jumping into some various scriptures. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But whoever has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwells the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. You know what that means? If we're going to tell people we love them, that means we're going to give. We're going to be generous. We're going to be generous. Listen, and that means sometimes to folks you don't think that you should be generous to. The poor, those that are in need. Because remember, when you give to those that are poor, you're giving to the Lord. And he says, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I love it. You know, God tests us occasionally with that. You see somebody that's in need for sure. How many of you have this go through your mind? Well, I wonder if I should help them. That ever go through your mind? I wonder if I should help them. Let me see, God. Let's have a prayer session. And in our minds, we're doing pros and cons. Yeah. Well, I don't know. And some of us end up on the con list and say, well, nope. No. I've helped them before. I ain't doing it again. And we have to understand, if we have this world's good and we see our brother or sister in need, and we shut up our bowels of compassion and say, that's mine. Because I've got to go get a Starbucks after this. What did we just do? We told God, no, I'm going to keep it. I got to go get a Starbucks. Or I got to go buy a new fishing pole. Or I got to go get a new dress. Or I got to go get a new pair of shoes. Or I got to do this. What's the common word there? I better move on. I got a couple more here, all right? Remember this, though, out of that. God has a repayment system for generosity and for your kindness. He will repay you. And when God repays you, how many of you, just by show of hands, You have realized that God has blessed you so much and you don't know why and how or where it came from. Then you take a look back and you see, perhaps you began to do this. And you began to give out. And you began to say, yeah, I want to be part of that. I want to be a part of helping that. I want to do this. I want to bring water for people that need water. I want to bring a sewing machine. I want to bring a bicycle. I want to bring a motorcycle. And you begin to see that all these things, and God begins to just open the windows of heaven. Now, when God begins to do this, just one word of caution. Don't stop doing those things. Because as much as God did it when you were doing and opening the windows of heaven, God can shut the windows of heaven. And we don't want that to happen. These won't take quite as long. The next one, repayment for a proud heart. Now, we don't often think about this because we learned about humility and that, you know, pride comes before destruction. But Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful. We want to stop there, right? And plentiful rewards the proud doer. This is really interesting because he says, for the Lord preserves the faithful. But he plentiful rewards the proud. How many of you know that's not good rewarding right there that God's talking about? He will overly, abundantly reward the proud. And what do we know that the proud get? A fall. Destruction. So there is a reward system in place if you choose that you are going to be all that in a bag of chips. And you think that you are really something. When you go out the door in the morning and you look at the mirror and you say, yeah, the world is waiting for you. And God says, I will plentiful reward you for that. Now we all laugh, but I always kid about our teenagers as boys because they did that. We had a mirror down at the bottom of the steps there. Right before they went out the door, our teenage boys would look at that mirror and say, man, do you look good? Girls are going to look out today. I was blessed. I never got to say that when I was a kid. But to listen, God, you don't want God to reward you for that kind of heart, folks. That's not the kind that you're looking for. And now jump over to Proverbs chapter 6. We're showing you what God's system of repayment is for this type of activity. Proverbs chapter 6. We should really pay attention to this. Verse 16. These six things does the Lord hate. That's powerful language there, Brandon. God says he hates. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. God doesn't hate. He's a God of love. Well, I'm going to tell you some things God hates. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. God, the number one thing, a proud look. Now, come on, think about it. If these are the seven most things that God hates, and proudness and pride is on the top. Do you want to do that? You want to be on that list? We want to be on the wake-up list, right? We're thankful. We don't want to be on God's list for this one. To have a proud heart, a proud look. Here's some other things. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. All those things God hates, but the number one thing is pride. So I would say let's get this out of our lives because there is an abundant repayment for that. And that's on the negative side, and it's something that you don't want. The last one, and again, we want this one, repayment of a repentant heart. If we have a repentant heart, there is a repayment system in store. Just turn back a couple chapters to Psalm 149. And if you'll bear with me, I'm going to read the entire psalm. All nine verses of it. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. D, you need to start dancing up there, okay? It's hard to do that with a guitar, but, you know. You guys encourage her, you know. Okay? D says, give it up, Pastor. It's not going to happen. Okay? Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. He's going to repay your repentant heart with salvation. It doesn't get any better than that. He's going to save you. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing upon their beds aloud. How many of you sing on your beds when you're in bed? Caleb, you don't sing in your bed? Well, you need to start, okay? John, you sing in your bed? Okay. I think we all ought to try this. Because he tells us, let the saints be joyful, let them sing aloud upon their beds. So it's okay. You have God's permission here to do that. Okay? So Philip, don't get upset when she's singing, all right? Laura? You got it? All right. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all ye his saints, praise the Lord. In other words, let me just paraphrase this entire thing. When we are worshiping God, He repays us back with salvation and He takes care of our enemies. That's God's repayment system. And what do we have in it? All we need to do is repent and call upon Him and worship Him. And God does the rest. What an awesome God. That's why we sing, our God is an awesome God. And that's why we worship Him. God truly has this repayment system in place. And listen, it cannot be changed. This is something that we call immutable. It cannot be changed. His word is unchanging. Now, we have all heard this. I'm going to end with this scripture, Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give. And it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over shall God cause men to give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Do you see the immutable law of God here? With the same that you give, it will be meted back to you again. So, God's going to do that for those that are against the people of God. It will be meted by God. It will be repaid by God. Your generosity and your kindness towards others, for what measure you do that, it'll be measured back to you again. So if you only want a little bit of God's blessing, just withhold it and don't help the poor, don't help those that are in need. Just give them just a little bit. And then God will give you a little bit. What about the proud heart? You decide you're going to have a proud heart, you can stand up in God's face. God's going to do the same to you. But when it comes to salvation and repentance, God is going to pour out His abundance to us and beautify the meek with salvation. Aren't you glad? Somebody say amen. Amen. Father, thank You for Your word today. Thank You so much that You have put these immutable things and You've made it very plain and very clear to us, Father. And I'm asking, Father, that more and more that we would open up our hearts and trust You. to take care of all that is happening with our enemies. And Lord, first and foremost with us, that we would open our hearts to be better givers, to be more generous towards the poor. And Lord, thank you so much that your word is true and you are faithful. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen and amen and amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.